And you're listening to radio station WTSB and 105.5 FM on the FM dial out there. And I'm thrilled to bring in, I think, one of the great broadcasters in America here, Tom Joyner. And Tom is going to analyze the speech last evening of President Trump. And so I'm just anxious to hear what he has to say. So, Tom, it's a pleasure having you on the airwaves with us, and come on in.
Thank you, Carl. Well, last night, the petulant Democrats in Congress further damaged their party with their ill-advised policy of sitting on their hands while the president spoke. Some, like Maxine Waters, boycotted the speech, and others refused to shake hands with a duly elected president of the United States. Had that happened to Barack Obama, the Democrats and the mainstream media would have labeled those Republicans as racists, bigots, and worse. This morning, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi continued their one-sided feud with ignorant statements. Both accused the president of not offering detailed plans on the agenda that he laid out so clearly in his speech. First of all, to lay out detailed plans on all that the president spoke of would have taken all night, and no Democrat would have been listening anyway. Moreover, Chuck Schumer appeared foolish this morning when he said that the president spoke of uniting the country, but that he could not agree to any of the president's agenda items because the president had not been specific. Chuck, you get specific in meetings, not on television, and certainly not in a few weeks of the presidency. Secondly, how hypocritical is it for Democrats to demand that this president cure all of the ills of the past 8 years in his first month in office? Obamacare is a disaster. Democrats know that as well as Republicans. But the Democrats are trying to protect Obama's legacy. If Republicans allowed Obamacare to stand, it would collapse under its own weight within 18 months. Again, the sane Democrats know that to be true. If President Trump wanted to play the Democrats' tit-for-tat game, he could just stand by and allow Obamacare to collapse. Democrats would then be begging him to do something, but that would harm the American people, and President Trump refuses to do that. Even while these rabid Democrats are nipping at his heels, it was embarrassing to watch career Democrats sit on their hands, even when the president spoke of issues that the vast majority of Americans agree with. One of the most dramatic moments last night came when the president introduced the widow of our Navy SEAL who was killed in the recent raid on terrorists. The standing applause lasted more than 2 minutes as the widow cried and looked to the heavens in grief. Most of the Democrats refused to stand in honor of this fallen soldier and his grieving widow. Such is their hatred of Donald Trump, who dared to defeat their female candidate for president. They refused to acknowledge that Hillary Clinton lost the election because she was a flawed candidate, a woman whose life's history is replete with dishonesty. Being a woman should never make up for that record. Remember the Clinton Foundation and the charges that Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, ran a pay-to-play operation that garnered tens of millions of dollars for the foundation? Clinton denied it, but when she lost the election and was no longer able to use her office to benefit Clinton Foundation donors, the so-called donors dried up instantly. The money that was pouring in barely trickles in now. The mainstream media has refused to report that fact, but it is true, and we all need to know it. Donald Trump did not defeat Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's adult life of deceit, arrogance, and dishonesty defeated her. President Trump last night did not engage in any language that was not presidential. He offered an olive branch to the Democrats. They bit the branch off and spat it back at him. It was a distasteful display of partisanship that every American should condemn. How was the spiteful arrogance from those Democrats helping our country? Donald Trump was elected by average, ordinary Americans who had grown tired of the status quo in Washington. He made several promises to those voters, and unlike politicians before him, he immediately began fulfilling those promises. What promises did this president make during the campaign or in his speech last night that is bad for the country? Voters agreed with sealing our borders and with extreme vetting of any and all refugees trying to get into America. They agreed that we have to do more for our veterans and that we must restore our military after 8 years of Barack Obama's agenda that weakened the very armed forces that we need to protect us. The president spoke of job creation and improving our failing educational system. Republicans applauded. Democrats sat still, looking like they had just had a root canal. President Trump called for rebuilding our infrastructure, and the Democrats mocked it. They know as well as we do that our roads need work and that our bridges are in bad, bad repair. Not much has been done since the Eisenhower era. Democratic leaders moan about how much this will cost. That from a party that wasted billions of dollars on scams like Obama's incentive program that George Soros called for and which collapsed with no benefit to the country. Some of the Democrats' friends got very wealthy with scams like solar power and windmills, which failed. The president called for better child care last night and told the truth about our failing educational system, which has created a need for young children to be able to leave failing schools and to find a school that's right for them, be it a charter school or any other option. This would be particularly helpful to poor kids and inner city kids whose future has long been stunted by teachers' unions who value money more than the children in their care. So what happened to the stock market this morning? It shot up in value, passing 21,000 for the first time in history. Still, Democrat leaders, most of whom, if not all, are invested in the stock market, try to tell us that the stock market is just for the wealthy. Do you have an IRA or any other plan tied to the stock market? If so, you are benefiting from this president's speech last night. If not, you should get into the market. I've been invested in the stock market for more than five decades. While it is true that I can be accused of being among the wealthy today, it was not so always when I bought my first shares in the stock market. If you buy one share of stock, you are invested in the market. I started with one share here and one share there. As a member of the poor group in America, it's all I could afford. But as time went on and my hard work began to pay off, I was able to gain a diversified portfolio of stocks. Each of us has the same opportunity. Set aside the purchase of a pack of cigarettes or a six-pack of beer, and you can be buying stock. I'm always amused when watching a game show where the contestant wins money. When asked what they're going to do with that money, they invariably mention buying luxury items or vacations. I understand those feelings because I had them myself in younger years, but Ann and I sacrificed those luxuries for the betterment of our future. And today we're told how lucky we are. But luck had very little to do with it. President Trump's speech last night was the best speech I have ever heard from a president. It contained no rancor. It contained real hope and change. Schumer and Pelosi this morning attacked the speech. They want us to believe that this president should have cleaned up all of their mess from the last 8 years in his first few days in office. Now, if you spend as much time in research as I do, it is impossible not to fear the future of America if this hatred from the Democrats does not subside. There was a fair election held in November, and one of two candidates won that election. The winner was Donald Trump, and he was the winner because he promised to drain the swamp that Washington has become. And he put forth an agenda of hope that voters believed he would fulfill. And their faith was rewarded as President Trump began fulfilling those promises from his very first day in office. The truth is that Donald Trump has accomplished more in his first 2 months in office than any president before him. We've been given one last chance to reverse the gains that liberal America has imposed upon us. One last chance to improve education, to rebuild our infrastructure, and to stop the influx of illegal immigrants and the drug traffic among them. Rebuilding our military is not designed for war, but for defense from those who might consider war against us. As a former Navy veteran, I am so disappointed in what Barack Obama did to our naval capabilities. Our Navy today is weaker than before World War II. Our enemies can't help but salivate at our weakness. When Ronald Reagan ran for president, the Democratic leaders waged a steady campaign of fear. They said that Reagan was a drugstore cowboy, and they insisted that Reagan would start a war. That proved to be empty rhetoric. But only after the American people had been told by Democrats that Reagan was virtually the devil. Those same tactics are being used today, but they did not work against President Reagan, and they will not work against President Trump. As Chris Wallace said last night after the president's speech, tonight, Donald Trump became our president. We should all resist the efforts of either main political party to divide us. These are troubling times, and unless Republicans and Democrats unite as simply Americans, we remain vulnerable. If the spiteful career Democrats continue this campaign of hate and fear against our president to the detriment of the country, they have to be called out. It is up to the average, ordinary Democrat to demand an end to the obstructionists in their party. It has reached the point of being a national embarrassment. Carl?
Yes, sir. And thank you very much, Tom Joyner. Thank you very much. You're always right on target. I appreciate all the good things you do for us. And I'll have to say again, you are one of the very, very best.
Carl, I appreciate that. I'm doing some research now on a couple of subjects that I think our listeners are going to be really interested in. I've been doing this on a couple of them for, 2 or 3 months, because you have to verify things. You know, you can't depend on the internet. It gives you some great information, but it also has people who put false news up on it. And that's one of the things I'm working on, is this issue of, are we getting fake news from the media? You know, depending on who you are and where you are, you'll hear different people say different things. I was convinced in my own mind that we are getting fake news from the media, but I set out to do the research to prove it. And I believe it'll be in next Monday's commentary. If not, it's the following Monday. But I'm going to give you many, many examples, more than 30 examples of the media's bias and what it's doing to our country. So I appreciate those who tune in to hear us on WTSB. And by the way, I want to also say how much I appreciate the merchants that I hear on your station, because some people don't understand how broadcasting works. Some think that the government gives radio stations and TV stations money. That's far from true. In fact, radio and TV stations have to pay for everything. They have to pay fees to the government to be on air. They have to pay for any music they play. They've got to pay a fee to BMI and ASCAP. And so it's a costly procedure. But I am just so happy to hear that the advertisers on WTSB that recognize a good local radio station for what it is. And Carl, I joined with everybody else yesterday and saying happy birthday. It's not often that we get to 90 years old, and certainly not after 70 years behind the microphone in that community. The community has shown their appreciation, and they should show their appreciation for all you've done for that area.
Well, Tom, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you and Ann and George Beasley and just thousands and thousands of good people that listen to us every day. We're one of the most listened to radio stations, I think, in the state of North Carolina, and I appreciate that very much. And one of the reasons that we got people on like Tom Joyner. How about that, Tom?
Well, I appreciate that, Carl. It was so heartening to hear all of the people, all the expressions of goodwill from everybody yesterday on your 90th birthday. And by the way, our friend George, our mutual friend George Beasley, is in Jamaica. George has had a home there for, 35, 40 years. Ann and I have been there at least once a year, sometimes twice during those 35, 40 years. But he felt well enough to go to Jamaica. We've been communicating back and forth by email. He seems to be in excellent spirits. His health is improving. And he told me to wish you a happy birthday and to let you know that you're in his prayers.
Well, thank you, Tom. And he's in mine, and you too. And we've got a great radio station. And you and George Beasley are two of the greatest broadcasters ever to broadcast in America.
I appreciate that, Carl. We work hard at it. And folks, thank you for listening, and God bless America.